Monday, the 1st of August. Today was a great day. The players who had travelled to Australia joined up with the internationals who'd stayed in London. Hugo Lloris and Ben Davies, who reported back later because their countries performed so well at Euro 2016, also arrived. There was plenty to sort out. It was a meeting-filled day. The least pleasurable aspect of it was sending some of the players back to the under-21s. I sat down with Jesus and John McDermott, and we spoke to each of the youngsters one by one to evaluate pre-season and explain the plan going forward. I'm sure some of them felt disappointed, although they seemed motivated to keep battling to break into the first team. Well-channeled frustration can be used to fuel ambition. Today, Tuesday, we performed various types of physical tests on the players who still needed to be examined. As the cardiologist was around, the coaching staff also took advantage and we got our tickers checked out. It turns out that all of us must take greater care of our health. It was a simple equation. Stress plus a lack of exercise equals problems. I turned 44 in March. I came back from Australia overweight, and it wasn't just me. We had some mammoth breakfasts over there. Given that the jet lag made it hard to get to sleep, we woke up very early. At 3 a.m. we were up, and all we could do was wait for them to open the restaurant. We were already there by 7, with a breakfast of champions on the cards. Each morning, we ate enough to last us for 2 days. Omelettes, toast, butter, jam, croissants, juice, fruit, sometimes even ham and cheese, coffee. It was crazy. So, logically, we all came back with some excess baggage. We're all going to go on diets and do some exercise, not purely for aesthetic reasons. We'll ease ourselves into it. Walks, some jogging and watching what we eat. We'll try to help one another. With a week to go until the Premier League kicks off, our recruitment isn't yet done and dusted, which means pressure levels are only going to increase. I don't like preparing for talks with too much detail. I think of a list of tactical topics and ask for some videos, but I don't always use them. I don't usually tell my coaching staff what's going to happen in the talk either, or which route I'm going to take. Before going into the meeting room, I go over the content that I've prepared. I ask the people around me for their impressions. A whirlwind of ideas brews. Sometimes things might happen that make you change tack. That's just exactly what took place during the first pre-season talk. We trained well during the week with the whole squad, and it was time to speak to everyone as a group. Mickey stood up with his computer, as always. I usually stand up next to him by the big screen, but today I sat down to wait for the players to arrive. Kyle Walker came into the room late. Not good. Something clicked in my head at that moment. I said to myself, I'm going to make a speech, but they also need to watch something. I spoke for half an hour, or so it seemed to me. As we all know, we have our conscious and also unconscious minds. You educate a group, put yourself in your charge's heads at certain moments, help them progress with their way of thinking or of doing things. That is relatively easy when there is no competitive stress. But when the competition starts, if you are not with a high level of activation and preparation, the other bit, the unconscious mind, takes over. It's what I call the automatic pilot. A way of behaving and thinking that we have been incorporating from birth, and that undoubtedly takes us away from the principal objective and the things we should be doing. When our title hopes were extinguished after putting in such a colossal effort throughout last season, finishing second turned into an insignificant prize. We lost sight of the fact that it would still be marvellous for our fans, like winning a trophy, because it would mean finishing above Arsenal. The group lost its focus and started to get influenced by factors that, until that time, we had left in a room with a triple lock on the door. Up until that game against Chelsea, that insufferable 2-2 stalemate, holidays didn't exist. Nobody was focused on personal challenges at Euro 2016, transfers or improved contracts. It all remained locked away until that draw effectively meant the league slipped away from us, and that door was flung wide open. Suddenly, we were distracted, and we forgot just how important it was to win our last two games against Southampton and Newcastle. Our performance against Newcastle explained everything. Football is a team sport, and if it starts to revolve around individuals, or if your game doesn't cohere and becomes disjointed, a relegated team can put five past you. Newcastle seemed to be geared up for a party, and we joined them in the celebrations. At the end of the game, and after I'd let off some steam in the press conference, Rafa Benitez came over to console me. By then, I was lucid enough to say, "Rafa, you've gone down. You'll be playing in the second tier next season, and we're in the Champions League without a qualifier. We came third. If you'd said that to me last year when the season started, I'd have said that was our hope. Our dream was to play in the Champions League at Wembley. Rafa, you don't need to say anything to me." But I wasn't totally truthful. The disappointment can make you feel like killing your players. And also yourself. I spent the whole summer thinking that I had to remind them about all that when the moment came. Seeing Walker turn up late to the talk was the trigger I needed to tear into the group. Part of my talk went something like this. Football is a screen that shows you how a group coexists. Lads, have a look at this video. I got goosebumps watching how in the friendly the other day, Fernando Torres ran after a loose ball in stoppage time after 93 minutes of slogging it out and travelling for 30 hours the day before without sleeping well. The guy sprinted to try to score after all that when his side were winning 1-0. A player who has won everything and with a long trajectory in the game. That is passion. That feeling that you're a footballer and you enjoy it. That's what you need. Not that attitude we had at Newcastle, where we showed a face that does not define us as a team. We didn't seem to care, and we were distant from what football is and the feeling that brought us together and got us to this point. You should be ashamed. And ciao, to hell with it. We had to put that chapter to bed between ourselves and dig out all our feelings. So I said all that and more. I spoke about things that had happened, about respect and life. We all ended up red-faced. But I liked it. It's important to be honest with your players. Of course, they won't all believe what you say. They might speak to a friend, agent, or parent whose vision may not be in line with the coach's. I prefer to open up, and although putting your cards on the table isn't always a good idea, in this case, I was certain that they were wounded. And if they didn't get treated in time, it would be very hard to make a full recovery.